Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right. Welcome to the Run Dot Down. I'm your host, Jeff, aka Frank Barrett 119 on Twitter. I'm here with Tyrese, aka London's Theory on Twitter, and Schwinn, aka Schwinnipoo on Twitter. The Knicks just lost a pretty embarrassing game, 112-105 to the Hornets. A game that saw them score 39 second half points when it appeared that they should have had the game in hand multiple times. I don't really think this game deserves a long intro. It just sucked. So let's just hop right into it. What did y'all think of it, Tyrese? What'd you think?
Worst game of the season. Trade everybody. Tank. Blow it up. Leon Rose should be fired. Let's build around Deuce McBride and Trevor Keels. Oh, wait, he's not even on the team anymore. Fuck Leon Rose. They played a double overtime game 48 hours ago. They were gassed. They played like they were gassed. Even though some of them played like assholes, I still kind of feel like that game affected them heavily. And, like, you saw, like, that burst in the second half due to the bench, and then they kind of just, like, nobody could hit shit. It was a very emotional game, very mentally taxing, physically taxing game. And it sucks that this is the team to lose to. But, yeah, ultimately speaking, all good things come to an end. And it just sucks it came to an end tonight.
Schwinn, what did you think?
This is kind of why I don't. Everybody's talking about like strength of schedule. People have been talking about that lately. Oh, the Knicks only have a strength of schedule is bullshit. Like when the Knicks had a really tough remaining strength of schedule right after Mitch got hurt, I was kind of the opinion they'd be fine. I thought they'd stay afloat. They did stay afloat. When like lately I've been looking at it, it's like I think today they came into tonight with the 23rd remaining strength of schedule left. And I've like looked at the schedule the rest of the way and like I don't think it's an easy schedule. That's not to say like it's a murderer's row, but like it's just the NBA season is long, it's hard, a lot of weird shit happens. They were still feeling the Sunday game. And I don't think like it's not just the Sunday game, you know, like they played a fucking super physically, emotionally draining game on Friday too. And you're playing, you know, that Miami game, that Boston game, the intensity of those crowds, the atmosphere, all of that. You're way more jacked up for those games. You come tonight, you're playing the fucking Hornets. The Garden was dead. The entire night, the Garden was basically dead other than like the second quarter when they made a run. The Garden, the crowd had no juice. Yeah, it's annoying we lost this game. I do think Tibbs fucked up not playing the bench way more. They triggered our runs in both halves. So, and the weird thing is, like, we saw him in that game against Philly a few weeks ago where he just let the bench cook. Like, when those guys got rolling in the fourth quarter, he was just like, whatever, like, I'll just let them go. Like, you know, Fournier, Deuce, whoever it was in that game. And it was just weird to me to, like, pull the bench guys when he did in the fourth quarter, because you could see from the start of the second half that like RJ had it going offensively. Other than him, I thought the starters were pretty bad today. I thought Randall was terrible, especially in the second half. I thought Quickly had nothing in the second half. They were just bad. And Mitch was fine. I thought his, you know, offensive activity was good. Defensively, I thought he missed a bunch of rotations too. I just don't think he was like, I don't even think it was like he wasn't focused. You could just see there like, they're like pointing and like staring at open guys. And they're just like, yeah, not going to be able to do that one today. And then you could see like there were three or four rebounds that Randall, the contested rebounds, like Randall the last month grabs like all of them. He couldn't get any, he just had no lift. He had no legs. It was a bad loss, but like, it's, you know, ultimately they're 9-1 in their last 10 games. I don't really like know what to say beyond that. Like doesn't make the loss any better, but it's also like, the reason why win streaks are nice is you bank wins and it gives you kind of a buffer when you do fuck up, and they fucked up tonight. And I think like, it's not just Tibbs. Like I said, I don't think quickly Randall, Mitch, I thought those three had bad second halves. They were okay in the first half. They were fine in the first half, I guess I would say. I thought RJ played well until the fourth quarter and then he ran out of gas too. You could just see, he just had absolutely nothing. I thought some of the calls at the end were a little bit weird, but whatever. I don't think the Knicks lost because of officiating. And I thought Tibbs just did a poor job of managing. Like, you've got to understand when you play, like, the way I thought of it and why I didn't have a problem with him extending the minutes in that Boston game is I think you extend the minutes in that game looking ahead to this game and you're like, well, I can use my bench more in this game. And he should have used his bench more in this game because they definitely needed to be used more. And he should have used Grimes more in this game. Grimes played, what did Grimes even end up playing in this game? Like 20 minutes?
28
minutes. What did, like,
29. Grimes played 29 minutes?
Yes.
Yep.
That's crazy. I didn't feel like it. He should have played more in the second half. I'll tell you that much.
He played both entire first and third quarters. So he basically played
like what, 1 minute in the fourth quarter tonight, right? And like, right. I think he needed to be out there just buy minutes for guys. And like, it's so weird because you look at his box score, it doesn't look that egregious, but you could just tell watching the game that like that he needed to like. I don't know. It was weird because I didn't think like Hartenstein was particularly great. I didn't think Obi did anything spectacular, but like just the fact that they had more energy, you could feel it. And I just thought it was a bad job by Tibbs to not get them in the game more. But like, again, I don't really feel like killing any of these guys. You're 9-1 in your last 10. Like if I told you 10 games ago, you would win 9 in a row, but then you'd lose to the Hornets. I think everybody would have been like, yep, that's fine. Take that.
Or just like you won 9 of your next 10, but flip the Boston and Charlotte game. Like, it's just so funny how expectations skew how you react to things. Like, if we just lost to Boston and beat Charlotte.
Or lost to Miami. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. There would be no overreactions at all. It would just be like, oh, yeah, okay. Things went as we expected in those games. But it can't be looked at rationally because this is just objectively a bad loss. I just want to add on to your point, Twin, because I think it's a really good one we were talking about before you get on. When Tibbs rushes back to his starters, a lot of times it's usually on the heels of like, at least he has something that he's like guarding against, you know, like when the times we see him go back to Randall or go back to Brunson, it's because, you know, the other team goes on like a mini 4-0 run and he's like, oh God, this is going bad. What I found weird in the fourth quarter is Deuce and Obi, the minutes they played on the court, it was the second shift when it was the best minutes the team played. And what you said was so spot on, where you said he should have been looking for reasons to, you know, get them more minutes because of the last game they played. If there was ever a time for Tibbs to force Obi and Deuce, specifically Obi and Deuce because of who they were replacing, because they were replacing Quickly and Randall, if there was ever a time for him to make them play themselves off the court, it was tonight. Like, it should, like, Deuce and Obi should have played in the fourth quarter until Charlotte cut it to 2 or 4. But They were the ones who Obi hits that three when he comes in, and I forget if it was the end of the third or the start of the fourth. Obi hits that three after the Knicks went down for the first time in the entire game. They were down 2, and Obi hit that three above the break, and he comes out when the Knicks are up 95-87, or excuse me, 97-89. So like, Obi was in for a 10-point swing. And Deuce came out a little bit before that.
Yeah, Deuce came out at like 95-89, I think.
Right, 95-87. I'm looking at it right now. And that was just completely surprising to me. If I was Tibbs, I would have been thrilled to let Deuce and Obi finish that game if they could have. Like, I would have forced them to say, okay, we can't be out here any longer because the Charlotte starters are making a run. But it was just very odd how he needed to get Quickly and Randall back in that game when, like you said, they just clearly didn't have it. Neither of them did. I thought Quickly played a really, really good defensive first quarter, a quarter he was 0-for-5 in. I thought his defense the rest of the way was about as bad as we've seen. Like, Emmanuel
Quickly. His defense wasn't great. I also think there was just some weird, like, he clearly, like, on the road, some of the Rozier stuff, because it wasn't just him, it was like, there were multiple possessions where I think people were expecting a switch, but then nobody switched, so he got open. There was a lot of weird miscommunication on screens tonight. And actually, I noticed, like, it happened even in the first quarter with RJ and Grimes on a few plays. But, like, it's again, like, tiredness leads to, you know, physical mistakes. It's just, it is what it is. But yeah, he didn't play a good game. And Randall, I thought Randall was like, he just didn't have it. Like, I don't even feel like bitching about his play tonight, because he just clearly had nothing. He had nothing tonight. You could just see, like, on the glass, jumpers, anything. He just did not have any juice. And, you know, again, like, just play Obi more, play McBride more. Those two probably should have played more. I don't know why. Like, I love Josh Hart. I don't think he needed to. Like, this is the thing that drives me nuts. And this, I know I'm going to get annoyed at some point with Hart with this. And not so much about Hart, but, like, Tibbs's just insistence on playing him is, like, in that fourth quarter, part of the problem was also that they were just packing the paint. And if you go back and watch it, they're just helping off of Hart easily. And Hart won't just, like, he'll take an open corner three, right? But he won't, he's not going to pull the trigger without kind of some, like, if he has the chance to drive at all, he'll drive. He's not like some guy. Grind back in. Like, just do that. Just try that out and see what happens. Like, it, and it's not so much, again, this is not even like, I don't even know if that would have worked. It probably wouldn't have, because I don't, like, they just, again, like, collectively as a team, I don't think they had it tonight. But, like, to not, just to, just when you see stuff like that, it's really frustrating. But yeah, I mean, look, I think RJ was the one guy that had it going, but even by the end of the game, he looked like he was dead on his feet too. So, yeah, it was just, look, they were gassed. They've had a nice run here. They've had a great run here, to be honest. I don't really feel like being that upset about this. I'm not really that upset about it. I'm just annoyed, and I wish it hadn't happened. But, like, you know, offensively, I bet if you go back, if you go and look at this game from, like, a shot quality perspective or whatever, we probably destroyed Charlotte. We, like, because we got open threes constantly. We just couldn't cash them in. We're 11 for 40 from three. They were 12 of 32. I mean, Rozier and Hayward made a bunch of bullshit tonight. Oubre made some bullshit tonight. Like, it is what it is. I don't really know what else to say. But, like, you know, again, if there's one thing to take away from this game is, like, this is where I do think Tibbs has done a much better job this year, just in terms of a lot of things. But, like, it's so – the margin for him is so thin. And when you take away a Brunson and then you add fatigue, you kind of see where still there are limitations there from him in terms of his, like, willingness. Just some of the stuff we talked about with the rotations, some of the strategy. Although tonight, I don't really think it was, like, a scheme thing. I just think it was, like, a guys didn't have anything thing. And he just should have played the guys that did have things, had more energy. So, like, but, like, that's, you see that, right? Like, because I think if they have Brunson, they win this game by, like, 15. Like, I don't think they, like, this game is close. Even with Randall playing like bullshit, even with Quickly probably plays better because he probably plays less if Brunson plays tonight. And Randall, even if he played like shit, it would have been fine because Brunson would have just, like, taken over when he needed to take over. So it's like, it's just weird with him where it's like, I do think he's improved in actual meaningful ways, but even within that improvement, you see on a night like tonight, when he can't just play Quickly 50 minutes because Quickly has something going tonight, you see, like, where those limitations are at times as a coach, where it's like the inability to just trust Obi and trust Deuce in really advantageous situations where you're up, right? I think that's just a big problem. But, like, we'll see. Look, if he has Brunson again, I think it's, like, this kind of all a moot point. We're probably celebrating a 10 straight victory and not really a difficult one. So, take it that what you will. I would probably guess that if we needed Brunson tonight, he could have played. I think I kind of wonder if he would have played if we had lost the Celtics game. And then because they won the Celtics game, they decided to give him an extra day, try and buy an extra win even without him. Because you kind of, like, snuck an extra win in there. So look, he's got what he's had, what, now Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday off. He'll have basically had six full days off before we tip off on Thursday against the Kings. So he should be good to go. I think the team will feel a lot better. This, you know what this game looked like? This game looked a lot like that Spurs game they lost.
Yeah, they lost the Dallas game. Yep.
So I'm not too worried about, like, is this going to fuck them up for the rest of the season? I think they'll be fine. I think they lost because That's what it is. You play 50, you run guys for 50 plus minutes out there, like it's probably gonna fuck you up for the next game. So it's fine. I'm not that worried about it. They'll be okay.
Yeah. Tyrese, any final thought, or not final thoughts, but any more thoughts before I get into the ad read?
We lost in front of Dua Lipa, and I'm really, really upset about that. That's kind of it. Otherwise, whatever.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into, you know, everybody's favorite part. The NBA season is heating up, and there are still so many unknowns. Like, will the Knicks beat the Celtics on the road and then lose to the Hornets at home? You never know what's going to happen in the NBA. When I'm looking to get into the action, I bet with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I did it tonight. I bet on the Knicks smartly. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Check this out right now. Everyone can earn up to 100% boost with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, total rebounds, and more. The more you add, the bigger the boost, the bigger your shot to win big. Download the app now. Sign up with code TBPN. Place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code TBPN. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. All right. Let's just get to the comments. Honestly, like, you know, I think Twin nailed it. Like, this game, I'm not going to say it didn't matter. Like, is it worrying that they can still look this bad sometimes? Sure. But, like, Brunson wasn't there, and they're on the heels of two really emotional games. Like, I think they've bought themselves some leeway. I don't think it's time to panic. So, I mean, and I don't think there's really that much to break down, because I'll be interested to look at the shot quality. I bet we won in shot quality. We got tons of good looks. Nothing went in. 2 for 16 for 2 for a million from three in the second half. Like, yeah. Chris Bernhard opened with a couple comments. So apparently getting hit on the forearm isn't a foul anymore. At least I wasn't. In the last 2 minutes, so we don't have to get annoyed at this. Oh, at least it wasn't in the last 2 minutes, so we don't have to get annoyed at the stupid report. Yeah. I mean, their reasoning for RJ not being fouled at the end of the Raptors game just completely contradicts this. This was bullshit. Did you guys see something?
I don't
different?
Really understand what they even. I don't even understand what there was on the replay to overturn it. At least from what we saw what I saw on the MSG feed, there was nothing that was like, oh yeah, okay. I genuinely don't even understand how you overturn that. I don't know. I just thought that one was weird. A lot of the calls at the end of this game were very odd. Considering some of the stuff they let go previously, but like, I don't think the Knicks lost because of the refs. I just think the Knicks lost because they were fucking exhausted.
Yeah. And man, I wonder if it's just because like Brunson and Randall get so many calls and it's like almost like a zero sum thing, but it really feels like RJ and Quickly just don't shoot free throws anymore.
Honestly, I know Randall hasn't shot free throws. Randall is barely shooting free throws now. Like, he had 6 and I feel like 2 of those were technicals. So like,
and he's got to stop shooting technicals, by the way.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, I don't get it either. But yeah, like, he hasn't been getting free throws really either. Like, his last 5 games, he's been averaging like 4, which is nuts. Like, and even in the Boston game, he got those down the stretch when they were trying to foul on purpose. So like,
yeah, you're the one thing. You're definitely right, but you're definitely right about the Boston game, because I remember when he shot the first set of free throws to like put us up from 1-3, and at the end of the fourth, those were his first 2 free throws of the game.
Yeah,
he only shot 4, I think, in the game, and they were good. Yeah, the other one was an intentional foul or something. Well, basically, it was like whatever it was. I don't know. I didn't think Quickly. One thing I will say, as bad as he played tonight, I was actually very impressed. He had a drive in the third quarter where he got Oubre and ISO, drove on him, basically created space with his shoulder, and then dumped it off to Mitch. And I was like, okay, like, I didn't realize you were that strong. That's good. But like, I don't think he did much to draw fouls tonight. And I thought, what, RJ had what, like 8 free throws tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he got,
it just seemed, it felt like it could have been 12 to 14.
It could have, but like, other, like, he does not do a good enough job to me of selling contact at times. Like, some of the stuff, like when he gets into the middle of the lane on a post up or whatever, I'm just like, dude, you got to do more there to draw a call. If you're trying to get a call, you got to be a lot better with that. And I would like to see him be like, his, it's so weird. He's like physical, and then he gets 10 feet out and he's just like super finesse at that point. I'm like, what happened here? Why can you not like be physical anymore? But yeah, I don't know. I think Randall, I think he's just had a few games where it's weird. One thing I will say is Charlotte definitely watched the Celtics game, or at least Street Clifford definitely did, because they were sitting on every time Randall spun or had his back to the basket, they were sending help from behind. In the first half, he made them pay with quick reads to shooters, even when they weren't cashing them in. I didn't care. Those were good reads. That's what he has to keep doing. Obviously, you're not going to be able to do that for 48 minutes, and he's not going to be able to. I'm not even expecting that from him. But like, that's a counter. That's something that Randall need to adjust to, but that's also something that Tibbs needs to see and figure out how to put him in more advantageous positions. I would have liked to see him be used as a role man today at some point, especially because they were trapping. When they were trapping quickly, they started trapping the ball handler after 1-5 pick and rolls. And again, like, they probably watched, Steve Clifford probably watched the Heat game. You probably watched some of the Celtics game. Like, these are the adjustments we need to see from Tibbs. They've been better recently, but you still see they struggle with it at times. And like, the adjustment to me is not that hard. Like, put Randall as the fucking role man, stick Mitch in the dunker spot if you want to have him on the floor, and let Randall get 4-3, like going downhill. Like, he that's great. That's a perfect situation. And they actually did that a little bit in the first half with the bench. But that's because, why is that? That's because Hartenstein can actually make plays out of those situations when he catches it on the short roll. He actually had one in the fourth quarter today where he took a stupid ass floater, but like, if you look at the floor, he had Hart on the wing, he had somebody in the corner, he could have made those passes. He just didn't that time. But like, that's another reason why, like, again, Will Tibbs, when, if teams are doing that, there's two pivots you can have if you're going to just, if you want to keep running pick and rolls. You got to put Randall as the role man, or you have Hart play as the center. Those are your pivots. If you're not, because I don't even want to bring up Obi, because it's like, we know the Obi thing's not going to happen. So whatever. But like, he has two options. Use Randall as the role man, or bring Hart in and let him do the 1-5. Just do what you normally do with your center. But Mitch is useless there. Like, that's just, there's no use for him there. And that's just something, again, like, these are the type of things where will Tibbs adjust in the playoffs, or will he just look at it and be like, do it better? Like, just be better at that thing. And it's like, that's not how this works. Like, I can't just be better at this thing. We'll see. But like, again, I'm not really interested in killing him that much, because they probably could have won this game playing like dog shit on offense if their defense had been there, but their defense wasn't there because the guys were exhausted, and it is what it is. Like, do I think Tibbs fucked up? Yeah. I'm not really that interested in killing him for it, because just like Randall's a lot of bad game and Quickly's a lot of bad game and whatever, like, I'm going to let Tibbs have a bad night tonight. That's fine.
Do you guys think, bring it back to your, you know, using Randall as the screener? What I see when the times Julius does set a screen, he is much more interested in using those screens to create a switch than he is in actually rolling. Like, in the last few years, there are times when we would see him roll to a spot, or like, you know, like, he had this really weird chemistry with Frank, where Frank, when he set a screen for Frank, Frank threw a slip pass and Randall would like walk into a wide open 15 footer or get going downhill. But besides that, I've never really seen him do it. He really, really just seems to use it for a switch. Do you think that's a do you guys think that's a like a Randall thing, or do you think that Tibbs is like coaching him to do that, or maybe a little bit of both?
I think it's a bit of both. That would be my guess. My guess is he has an option. Like, he can roll or he can set up for a post-up off a switch, and he veers in the direction of the switch because that's what you'd rather do. But, like, again, as a coach, if you're – I mean, you could see it. Like, that's what they were doing, right? And we saw that against Miami. We've seen that against multiple teams trap the 1-5 pick and roll, and, you know, because Mitch isn't much of an outlet, that hurts. But, like, it's – again, it's why it is why you have to, I mean, that's one where it's like, if you're Tibbs, you'd be like, hey, Drew, like call a timeout, Julius, we're going to run this play. You're like, we need you to roll. You're rolling to the rim on this play. This is the play for you to roll. And you're going to catch the ball and it's going to be 4v3, but you have to roll. You cannot set up for the, like, that's just coaching. That's what you have to do. And if at that point Randall doesn't listen to you, you know, I don't know, you'll figure it out. Maybe he's done that and Randall just kind of does his own thing and you kind of have to deal with that. But, like, I somehow doubt that. So, yeah, I mean, look, I just think Tibbs should probably tell him to – Tibbs either needs to make that adjustment or, again, just play Hartenstein and trust him. And, again, I say that, like, I didn't even think Hartenstein played very well tonight. But, like, he would have been a better option there down the stretch. And I got to say, Hartenstein had a really good run. He's kind of had like a few, like 2-3 games in a row now that I'm like, how you, like, are you back to being annoying now? Not fully there, but, like, you know, whatever. But I did like when he stopped RJ from definitely picking up a technical. That was good to see from Hartenstein.
That was good. Well, what about you, Tyrese? You're kind of the Randall expert. What are your thoughts on just like the Randall pick and rolls in general and just him acting as a roller?
I would like to see it, but I don't think this team's ever going to do it. I just don't think Tibbs sees Randall as a roller in that aspect. I mean, like, we really don't do anything for the role man anyway. I feel like we should be incorporating that more. I mean, we have the greatest main finisher in the league right now, and we just don't run anything that involves the role man finishing the play. It's just, like, against it's the antithesis of what we do offensively, which is essentially, like, a lot of jumpers, a lot of attempts to, like, get paint touches but not necessarily finish at the paint, and not a lot of, like, feeding the big. I think that's, like, this might have been the best feed the big game aside from maybe, like, the Mavericks game in Dallas, and also that was when Quickly ran point. So, like, I kind of feel like feeding the big is kind of Quickly's safety blanket versus someone like Brunson, who's gonna, like, do more stuff out of ISO and do more stuff in the mid-range, and I can't get mad at him for doing that. But, yeah, like, I would like to see it. I just don't have any faith in it actually being, like, a part of the offense unless we run, like, 5 outsets, and we rarely do that anyway, so.
Fair enough. Ace Bouchard commented when we were talking about our rotations. He said, Tibbs' rotations are pretty much the same thing every game. When he decides who his guys are, he's going to stick it to it until the very end. I just want to say I actually disagree a little bit. I think he's done a better job of staggering lately, especially the non-Brunson and Randall guys. Like tonight we saw, I mean, if you view, you know, Tibbs always has his guys, like you allude to here. Well, his guys tonight were Quickly, RJ, and Randall. And in both the first and the third quarter, he pulled RJ, and then he pulled Quickly, and then Randall came out at the end of the quarters. And I don't think we've ever really seen that one-by-one-by-one staggering from him. I'll turn it over to Schwinn because he brought it up earlier, and I am curious where Schwinn thinks this is going to go. To Ace Bouchard's point, he is going with Josh Hart down the stretch of pretty much every game. Now, Josh Hart is just blitzing everybody in net rating, and he's been good pretty much every game, so he has deserved it. But is this do you guys think this is just going to be, you know, an Alec Burks thing where Hart's just closing every game regardless because Tibbs likes how he profiles, or has it just been coincidental?
No,
in the sense
I think when Brunson is back, Hart won't necessarily close every game. I think I think Quickly and Hart are equal to him, like where they are. I don't think Hart is automatically going to close games over Quickly. And then there's also the RJ of it, like. We know that he's not automatically going to close games with RJ. So I don't feel like that, but I do think Grimes is the one that's ultimately going to probably lose minutes this year from that. It seems like Grimes is not trusted to close games at this point, which, like, I don't entirely agree with, but I don't totally hate, because Grimes lately has been like, maybe he needs a kick in the ass to like really pull the trigger on some shots. I was happy to just see him shoot a few times today. But like, yeah, I think Grimes is probably the one that's going to be hurt the most by that. But like, I don't think Hart's going to necessarily close every game. I do think he loves Hart and he likes what he brings to the table. So like he might close more than not, but I still think it's like, he'll be picking among two of those three to close games between Quickly, Hart, and RJ. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Tyrese?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it kind of feels like a rotation of Quickly, Hart, and RJ. And most nights are probably Quickly and Hart. It's just like, I don't hate closing with Josh Hart. I just think it comes down to like, you can't have Hart and RJ close unless RJ or Hart is like having a really good night from three and they're drawing gravity. Because like, yep, you yep. see it when like Hart and RJ are on the court together, Charlotte just sat.
There's no off. Space. Yeah, yep. There's no space. Like it's just, you can get away with that in the second quarter and like the end of the third and the early fourth. But like when you're down in crunch time, like you need that space. Or you're just, what you need to be willing to do is tell guys, spray it out to Hart, and you have to trust Hart to shoot the fucking ball. RJ will shoot it. I don't know if I trust him to make it, but he'll shoot the fucking thing. Hart might not even shoot it. So, like, you yeah. need to, there needs to be, like, again, I don't think they win the game tonight if Grimes closes over Hart or closes over RJ, but I do think Grimes needed to be in that game because you could just see how much they were sagging off of those guys. And, like, Randall didn't have it tonight. So to compound that by like, you know, kind of
cramming the space.
Yeah, you're making the job harder for him. I didn't think like Quickly had much space to drive into. I don't think RJ had much space to drive into in the fourth quarter. That was part of the problem too. Yeah. I mean that's what it is. I don't know. I really, this game is so stupid and boring to talk about.
To go along with you guys' points about the Hart RJ pairing, something to monitor: the 5-man unit of Brunson, Quickly, RJ, Randall, and Mitch have not seen the floor together since the Hart trade.
Yeah, like I expect that to be the case.
Yeah, I mean he definitely likes. Yeah,
I'm just saying like that's kind of a big deal in my opinion because we've seen. I mean he's. He closed with Hart and RJ with the starters. And I don't think we should forget how good the starters plus Quickly are, you know, like
but he's closed with Quickly and Hart too.
No, I agree. That's his favorite lineup. I think he likes Quickly more than RJ. That's not the point. I just think that it'll be interesting to monitor, you know, those three, because we know Brunson, Randall, and a true center are not going anywhere. So those three are kind of vying for two spots.
I just think it's a matter of like, it's just harder to fit RJ and Hart on the court. And if like Quickly is scoring, then why do I really want RJ unless RJ is like having a heater, and RJ really hasn't been having a lot of heaters. So like, yeah, it just kind of feels like Hart is, I think to Tibbs, Hart is probably their best wing defender, and Quickly gives you enough offense and it's better than RJ's. So like, what is the point of RJ unless he's like having a game against like that he didn't get, like say Miami, or just like one of those games where he's like shooting it from three, efficient from two. Like, yeah, that's kind of it. Like, unless RJ is having like a really good offensive game, I just don't see him closing a lot of games, and I can't really get mad at that because I think Hart just does more, and I think Quickly is a better player.
I think it's pretty clear that when healthy, the Knicks' best lineup is Brunson, Quickly, Hart, Randall, and Mitch. In a vacuum, obviously there will be times when Brunson, Quickly, RJ, Hart, and Randall should be their best lineup, but that's, you know, with our coach, that's not going
to
be
easy. This is where adjustments have to come in, because I think in the regular season, that's 100% their best lineup. I also think you might get into the playoffs and teams are just going to be like, we're just going to leave Josh Hart wide open. We don't care.
Yep.
We don't care that he's out there. We want him to shoot. And until he shoots us out of this, we're just going to leave him wide open. Will Tibbs adjust to that? I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. Will Hart adjust to that? I mean, it's also on Hart. Will Hart shoot the fucking ball? He should. I mean, he's shooting fine. He's not shooting badly from three. He's shooting fucking great from three on the Knicks. He just needs to shoot more. And like, if that comes with the percent, I mean, the percentage is going to come down no matter what. But if that comes at the expense of his percentages, that's fine. I don't care. He has to shoot the fucking ball there. He has to make defenses honor him out there. And he's not doing that right now. So he's got to do that.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I mean, right now it's hard to say, like, it sounds insane criticizing him too much, given I think even tonight he ended up being a plus one or something. He's just it's one of those things you can kind of see coming down the line where it's like, I love the Hart pickup. I think it was a great pickup. I got no problem with that at all. You just need him to shoot the ball more. And if he doesn't shoot the ball more, that's going to be an issue at some point. I mean, I think I thought it was an issue at the end of the Miami game. I thought it was an issue at the end of this game. We were just able to overcome it against Miami because Randall hit the craziest shot ever. But like, I think the spacing, like, I think you're seeing that there are spacing issues. So that's on Tibbs to recognize that and either make some adjustments. I mean, shit, you know, we talk about adjustments. Use fucking Hart as the role man.
Yep.
Use Hart as the role man. You could use him as a role man. And, yep. And this is the thing that always fucking kills me with Tibbs. This always kills me with Tibbs. He knows this stuff. He'll say it in a press conference. He already said it, right? Like, oh yeah, Josh, like, he can play the four. I like that. I'm like, do you like it? Yeah.
Do it.
Do you like it then? And I think he's mentioned before that he, like, you can use Josh as a role man and a screener. And I'm like, I'm very happy that you know this, but maybe you should try it too. You know, you should give it a shot, see what happens. But yeah, look, these are concerns for me that will not be addressed until we get to the playoffs. Assuming we get to the playoffs. I'm assuming we're going to get to the playoffs, barring a collapse. But, like, I still – that's always been my reservation with Tibbs, is, like, I don't know if I can entirely trust you in those specific situations when you need to make quick adjustments and adapt to what's going on. But, like, for right now, I'm just – this game is just stupid and dumb, and the Knicks will probably be fine.
I feel like if we're going to talk adjustments to the and relate them to tonight's game, the one thing that jumped out to me was Clifford came out in the second half and said, we know you don't trust your five on the short roll, and so we're not going to respect them. Every handoff, every pick and roll, they blitzed. And this is the third straight team to – well, no, Celtics didn't do it, but Miami did it a hell of a lot. They blitzed Brunson – almost unequivocally. You know, teams are going to go small against the Knicks, and Schwinn, you've talked about it, you know, good luck against Mitch going small, but teams are going to blitz when Mitch is the only guy setting screens. They know that Tibbs doesn't want Mitch catching the ball 15 feet from the hoop and making decisions.
Which is dumb. I feel like Mitch has flashed enough to, like, make the right reads off his offensive rebounds, make the right reads out of DHOs. He can, like, pass to the open corner shooter now, which is, like, enough for him to, like, get that value. It just kind of feels like he needs to empower his centers more, especially Hartenstein. Like, the whole reason you signed Hartenstein was his ability to do stuff out of, like, the high post and at the top of the key. And we don't run that for him. And we just made him we made him white Taj Gibson. Like, so it kind of feels like you need to leverage the fact that your centers are 7 feet tall and have at least gotten to the level where they can process enough of the court to make, like, the simple reads. I'm not expecting them to be Jokic, well, Hardenstein maybe. But, like, I'm not expecting them to, like, have to do, like, you know, one hand and behind the back, two heads. Like, you saw Mitch be able to take a guy like Derek White off the dribble who legitimately may buy for, like, first team all defense. Like, we can do stuff perimeter extended with our centers, and we just don't do it. And I feel like that would be a pretty decent counter, especially given the fact that, like, if you're going against a team like a
a Cleveland in the playoffs, or even Sixers, because, like, you know, the Sixers still are looming because we might still drop to sixth. Like, I feel like having your centers be able to do things is going to be very important to, like, combat a lot of what teams might throw at us, and we don't do that, and that's frustrating.
He can get away with that when he has Brunson on the floor, but when he doesn't have Brunson on the floor, it's a big problem. And even with Brunson, like, I think it's like you're getting away with it sometimes because he's on fire, but it's not like it's not yielding advantages the way we operate trying to beat the traps a lot of times. But, like, you know, like, again, this is just where the Hartenstein thing is so bizarre to me, because it's like, I'm just looking at this now. He pulled him right after he missed that floater. He got an offensive foul right after that. He got pulled right after that, literally at that stoppage after he committed an offensive foul or a loose ball foul. Sorry. And, like, I watched that play and I'm like, my frustration isn't, it's just that he shot the ball. It's because I'm like, they're like, Hart's wide open there. You got, I think Grimes or somebody was in the corner, maybe Deuce, probably Deuce, or maybe it was Obi. I don't know. Somebody was in the corner, somebody's on the wing. Like, you had options available to you there. He just has to make the right read. That's it. But, like, so, if he can't trust Hartenstein in a situation like that, that is a problem of Tibbs' own making. And we already know he doesn't trust Mitch to do that. So, like, maybe you're right, Tyrese. Maybe Mitch can do it. I don't know. I have no idea, because we have never put him in that situation to try it. So it's just guesswork. But, like, I know Hartenstein can, and I know what the Hornets were doing tonight down the stretch of the fourth quarter, and I know that Hartenstein would have been better for that reason down the stretch than Mitch, especially because Mitch wasn't doing much defensively today anyway. And his defensive rebound tonight wasn't that great either, just because, like, the rest of the team's defensive rebound wasn't great tonight. But yeah, like, I don't even know. Like, it's not even – these are just – we've had this conversation like 5,000 times. So it's like, I know what Tibbs does. I don't entirely agree with it. I definitely don't agree with it on a night like tonight, but that's what he's going to do. So it is what it is.
Yep.
It is what it is. Walt Clyde Frazier said, can't buy into Knicks were gassed after a day's rest. C's played an overtime game day after and almost beat the Cavs without Tatum. Wasn't a physical thing. It was a phone-in performance. They'll get it up for the Kings.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. Sorry. No. I did not watch this game and think that the Knicks were like – they didn't start – at the start of the game, they were not mailing it in. Like, this was not like a, oh, the Knicks are mailing it in right now. Like, no, they were fine to start the game. I thought their defense was good to start the game. And then the second quarter, they go off. Boy, it was a 45 to 29 second quarter. They did not mail this in. And, you know, I just – weird shit happens. Like, I don't know. All I know is if you go back and watch the Spurs game after they played – you know, after Tibbs ran a crazy rotation against Dallas the game before, they had a day off between those games. I remember watching that game and thinking, like, they just look fucking shot right now. They look like – it was just, like, Quickly was the only one – Quickly and Randall were the only two that night that I, like, had it going. And tonight it was, like, RJ's the only guy that had it going for three quarters of the game anyway. But, like, the Celtics also – but they played a very – I mean, a bunch of guys sat that didn't play.
Yeah.
A bunch of guys sat that played the Knicks game. So, like
– also, they had Brogdon.
Yeah, Brogdon came back for this game. And Derek White played a lot. Derek White didn't play much in that Knicks game. He played a bunch in this game. Peyton Pritchard, he got a DNP CD that game. He played a bunch. Grant Williams played a lot less. Probably should have played less than he did. Mike Muscala played a lot. Mike Muscala played 35 minutes in this game. I don't even know how many he played against us. Blake Griffin played 18. He played zero against us. Like, I don't think it's comparable. And I didn't watch it. So I have no idea. Like, what did Jaylen Brown shoot from the field in that game?
He
was 12 of 26 for 32 points. So he basically did what RJ did tonight. And he's 1 of 7 from three. Like, yeah. Like, I think, again, I didn't watch it. They blew a fucking big lead down the stretch of that game too, right?
Yeah, they did. Yep. I think they had like a 14-point lead at halftime, and they blew it.
So like, it was double digits in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So like you kind of see.
So they probably ran out. They probably ran out of gas, and the only reason that like it's not, and honestly, they probably had more gas than we did because, like you said, Brogdon came back for that game. Fucking, you know, they played a bunch of guys that didn't play much against us. Like, I don't know. I don't really. I would feel differently if, like, they did what we probably should have done tonight, which is like extend minutes for other dudes. Obi, Deuce, those two specifically, probably they should have played more tonight. And I don't even think they needed to play that much more. If you give them like 3 or 4 minutes more in each half, that's probably enough. You probably get across the finish line here tonight. I think, you know, I don't know. Obviously, I think, but we didn't do that. It is what it is. I did not feel like, even when they sucked ass in the third quarter, and I know I tweeted out they should try, but like, yeah, they should try. But I also think their effort was being kind of not dictated, but like their effort was affected by their, maybe, I don't want to say conditioning, but their energy levels. And again, it's not just the Boston game. It's not just the Boston game.
It's, Miami game it's was draining too.
Yeah, the Miami game was fucking crazy. And it's not just the exhaustion of like the minutes played in those games. Those are crazy emotional swing games. Like, look at how we all reacted after the fucking Celtics game and the Heat game. You know, like, and that's just us sitting on our fucking asses at home watching the games. The entire fan base was going fucking bananas. Like, and they feel that shit too. They were jacked up after both those games. So like,
literally look at Randall, like, run into the crowd, knock tips over and stuff like that. And then to win that game Sunday, like, that was basically like arguably your two biggest rivals, like historically speaking, your two biggest rivals, and you beat them on like a last second dagger. And then you beat them in double overtime without your starting point guard. Like, those are games where you kind of just have to, like, I mean, those are going to be, like, highlights of the season. And now you go into a game against the fucking Hornets, and you're like, all right, we're drained emotionally, physically, and now we have to try to get it up against this team. And, like, they're going to say, yeah, you know, we need to do it better. Like, but sometimes, like, it's hard to get it up after.
It's an 82 game season. Like, you're not gonna be there every single night. I'm sorry. Like, unless Michael Jordan is on your team, like, you're just not gonna fucking get dialed up every single night. And I promise you,
Michael Jordan wasn't there.
Yeah, there are games Michael Jordan did not dial it up until like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's like, okay, it's time to beat the Vancouver Grizzlies. But like, yeah, I don't know. I just have a hard time getting that upset about this game or criticizing them. Like, again, and even Randall said it, like, after the Miami game, he had a quote, right, where he was like, he said something like, somebody asked him a question, he's like, bro, I don't even know the hell you just asked me, I'm so tired. And then after the Celtics game, they asked him something about, like, load management after the game, right, and he's like, man, like, I wish I had, like, a day off, or sorry, he said something basically, like,
yeah, basically like, man, talking about how tired he was. And I might need to start it, like, and he wouldn't, like, yeah. people were, like, legitimately upset that they didn't rest Randall for this game. Like, he's never going to do it. Like, I hope you guys realize he's
his rest is what he did tonight, where he was just like, I am not going to make rotations. That's what I'm gonna do. That's how I rest.
You can't tell a dude who, like, prides himself on playing all 82 to be like, oh yeah, we're gonna make you take a rest day. Like, he's never gonna do it. Nobody in this team is, like, looking to take a rest day. I'm sorry. Like, this team very much prides themselves on, we're going to play as available as possible. We're going to play hard all 48 minutes and stuff like that. Like, you cannot, the culture of this team will not allow you to take a rest day. Like, you could say Brunson maybe took a rest day today, but at the same time, like, he had a legitimate injury.
It wasn't a rest day. It was like he's probably like 85%. And they were like,
they wanted to be like,
play today, but then maybe you re-aggravate it. So why don't we just sit your ass, get an extra couple of days, and then you'll be at like 95% for the Kings. Like, that's fine.
And the clutch offs against Fox. But like, yeah, the rest thing was never gonna happen. And they kind of just they came out flat tonight. They were flaccid. It happens.
Yeah, they were.
And also, flat. I mean, they were tied 21-21 at the end of the first quarter, But like Schwinn just said, you know, a couple minutes ago, they absolutely dominated from a shot quality perspective. They missed a ton of wide open threes. They were generating great shots. And then they blitzed Charlotte in the second quarter, and they're up 66-50 at halftime. I don't think anybody was thinking at halftime, like, this is a team mailing it in. They were getting good shots every single time down the floor. And Charlotte makes a couple adjustments, and the Knicks just weren't ready for it, and they didn't have anything. They didn't have the ability to respond. So
to that specifically, like, we talked about Tibbs has to make adjustments. Like, we just talked about the mental fatigue these guys probably are, you know, emotional fatigue, whatever. Like, that affects how players execute too. Like, that Tibbs maybe was telling them to do this shit, and they were just not able to do it. Like, you saw the defense in the third quarter. I doubt Tibbs was like, yeah, man, just Julius, just give up blow bys to like PJ Washington and then don't rotate to anybody. Like, that's obviously not what he was telling them to do. Like, oh, hey, quick, when there's a dribble handoff, just don't bother actually trying to defend Kelly Oubre. Like, obviously those are not things he told him. But this is like, when you're mentally tired, when you're it affects your physical performance and your decision-making and all that. And I just think it was obvious tonight. And it's like, you know, again, this is why winning streaks are good, because when you fuck up, you have a buffer built up. And I think the Knicks are now tied in the loss column with the Nets. I'm pretty sure they have the tiebreaker over them because they have a much better division record.
Yes, and they also have two games up in the win column. They have two games up in the win column.
So. Yeah, they're two games up in the win column. So, like, yeah, it's fine. I'm okay with this. Like, I think, again, if you told me 10 games ago they'd go 9-1 and the one loss would be to the Hornets, but they'd win all the other ones, I'd be like, sounds great. Where do I sign up? Like, they're probably going to finish around 46, 47 wins, I would guess. Maybe even more than that. Yeah, maybe. But, like, yeah, they're going to be fine. We'll be happy. It's fine.
No, the season is over.
I think it's easier to look after the fact and be more rational about it. I think in the moment where you're living and reacting to each game, you know, the same reason the Celtics game had us on cloud nine, because nobody expected to win that game without Brunson, is the same reason that this game feels so much worse than it actually is. Like, your point is exactly right. If somebody said, oh, you're going to go 1-1 at Boston versus the Hornets, looked at in a vacuum, we'd all just be like, okay, that's fine. Like, whatever. But after beating Boston, everybody's expectations change, and it's like, oh shit, we're gonna win 10 in a row and then get Brunson back and at the start of this tough road trip, and you're just completely caught off guard by this loss, especially up 16 at halftime, up 8 midway through the fourth quarter. It's just, I mean, you're 100% right, Schwinn. Like, from a rational perspective, oh great, we went 9-1 in the last 10 games, every single one of us would have signed up for it. But it's like the Monty Hall problem, you know, like, everyone would have taken 9-1 across 10 games, but would everyone have taken 9-1 across 10 games after starting 9-0 and knowing the 10th game was a home game against the Hornets? Like, you do have to adjust somewhat, you know, it's a different equation.
You do. But I mean, every team has bizarre losses every year. Like, absolutely. Every single team. Fucking Boston. Didn't they have that game against like OKC where they lost like 150 to 120 or something like that earlier this year. And that was without Shea. The Lakers have been on a run of games recently. Like, they beat the Warriors with Steph back. The Warriors again lost tonight, by the way, with Steph back and with no Shea and with no Jalen Williams. Like, this is a tough league, man. The league has probably never been more difficult to string together. It's harder to string together win streaks probably than it's ever been, unless you're the fucking Milwaukee Bucks, apparently. But like
or the Knicks.
And even the Bucks, they fucking blew that. Yeah, I mean, even the Bucks against the Sixers on Saturday night. Like, I know the Sixers are a very good team, but like, they were up big in the fourth quarter and they couldn't close it out. Like, it is hard to win fucking games in this league, no matter who you're playing. I mean, like, think of it this way: the Hornets suck, but like, Rozier, Hayward, Oubre, they're like the worst big three you could probably have in the NBA, but they're all actually capable of scoring points. Like they are capable of going off on any given night. And tonight was just their night, and they capitalized, I think, on a very low energy Knicks team. And like I don't know, like I think about like the shittiest Knicks teams I watched, right? The ones that won 17 games. Fucking Hayward would have been by far, Hayward and Rozier would have been like by far the best offensive players in those teams. By far. Yeah. So like that's what I like. It's this isn't even me like rationalizing. It's a bad loss, but it's also one where I'm like, okay, like I'm it's easier for me to stomach a bad loss when you've also just had like a bunch of fucking epic wins and great wins, high quality wins, you know? Like look at the week they had last week. Two against Boston, one against the Nets, and one against Miami. Like that's a great week. You don't want to piss that away by losing, like you don't want to go to the West Coast, lose to Sacramento, drop both the LA games out of 0-4 week. You don't want that either. But like again, win streaks help because now you have a little bit of a buffer. You have some margin for error. Let's see what they do. I think they can. I mean, if they go to the West Coast and just like split the West Coast trip or whatever the fuck, I'm fine.
Right.
With
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if we beat LA, I think we also play. I don't even know who we play in the trip. Okay, I have it here. Portland. So they beat the Lakers and they beat Portland and we lose like the first two games. Like ultimately, you're fine. Like, all right, whatever. Cool. Just keep it going.
You say that, Tyrese, but like, man, I mean, I feel like we all know this fan base. Like, if they lose Sacramento and then lose the Clippers, I'm not saying we're going to be in like panic mode, but three games in a row, if they're losing three games in a row, discussions are going to start being had, you know, like it's going to get a little irrational
because we're irrational fucks, but like,
right.
It's not
every fan base though, to be honest.
Exactly. Except for like OKC, nobody cares.
I mean, to me, the biggest thing is like Miami has two games this week against Cleveland. People have been talking about like we can catch Cleveland. I don't think we can catch Cleveland. I'm not really that worried about catching Cleveland because that's not how I will. Like, again, if this team finishes in the top six in the East this year and then plays a competitive first round series, whether they win or lose it, that is a good year. That's a good year to me. And I'm not going to move off that just because they went on an awesome 9-game winning streak. But like, yeah, to me, I'd much rather Miami just loses both those games because, you know, it's like, I would rather not have to deal with like, oh, they're two games back. Oh, they're a game back. Like, no, just fucking lose those games. Go away. Fuck off. That would be great.
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously another painful part of this loss is we had four games on them in the loss column. And with two games remaining against them that they're going to, you know, treat like very, very important games. Those, right. That's keeping that cushion alive is very important. Jordan Bubb said how far this team goes in the playoff or trying to get the four staying in the five is going to be tied. How much will Tibbs be willing to adjust and not go back to his same patterns of thinking? Schwinn, let's hear what you got. What do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree, but like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I agree. That's what I think. I think this team is capable of doing some really good things. I'm sure this sounds insane to people that are like, what the fuck are you talking about? But like, I still feel like when I watch us offensively that we're probably capable of being. What we do is effective. There's no denying that. There's absolutely no denying that what the Knicks do offensively is effective. I still think, I still worry about how effective that can be in the playoffs when teams are geared up for you. And I still worry about, I still believe that this team is capable of running more creative offense in terms of ball and player movement than we do. But that adjustment's not going to happen in this season anyway. And we're not going to know how Tibbs adjusts lineups and stuff like that until we get the playoffs. So, you know, we might get a glimpse this weekend. I'll say that because I would imagine both the Clipper. I mean, these next three games will probably be close to playoff intensity type of games at Sacramento, at Clippers, at Lakers. Those should all be pretty intense games. Every single one of those teams is playing for something. The West is insane. Sacramento is playing to maybe get to the second seed. With the Grizzlies kind of falling off here because of Ja Morant. But
yeah, when I saw that trending, I like never want to laugh at somebody's personal life, but just that somebody came up with that. I mean, I know it's an easy pun. It was good.
Yeah. And but yeah, like if the Knicks like they should be dialed up for these games. And I do like it's weird. Yeah. And I do think like there was that interview today with Rebecca, right? Where she was talking about how quickly was talking about how like he loved playing at TD Garden and like the atmosphere and all that shit was great. And then he even talked about it like, oh, he had to ice it. He like clearly took it clearly affected him more than normal games do because he just like they said like, oh, he iced himself down. He had an ice bath. Like he did extra shit that he doesn't normally do to recover. So clearly like the idea that like it was just, oh yeah, I'm fine. Like no, not the same thing. But I do just think that additional kind of like boost of playing for their real stakes in these games probably moves the needle effectively for them in some ways.
Yep. I think they'll be up for those games. I also think that Brunson being there to like take off that bulk and kind of get minutes back in order will help a ton.
Yeah, and just like having a really good player. Like I'm sick of I gotta say, like we have been on this like since the start of the season. The whole like thank God we have a point guard thing like has always been annoying, but like Brunson really inspires these like intangible, just these conversations that are trying to like do gymnastics as to why he's so important and like more important than the numbers reflect. When it's like Occam's razor is usually just the answer. Like he's really important because he's a really fucking good basketball player. And I don't get why people are so afraid to say that. Like, it's like, they think he adds this, like, I don't know. Like there were people, somebody in my mentions today saying like Julius Randle needs Jalen Brunson. It's like, okay. Like if you can prove to me that Julius Randle like specifically just doesn't give a shit unless he has Jalen Brunson on the court with him. Okay. Like I'll start to buy it. But from a pure objective profile standpoint, Randall's getting all the same shots that he gets when Brunson is on the court that he does with Quickly. Like the offense is run fine. The shot quality was fine. Is Brunson putting like some special sauce on the ball that makes the ball go in more? No, like understand variance, understand shot quality. Like it's really frustrating. The conversations he inspires, like, I just wish people could just accept that he's just a really good basketball player, and that's it.
I would suggest that the Knicks actually probably have a much more like they have a higher variance offense when Brunson is out. I think they depend on the three ball more, which isn't a bad thing, but it's just like a different thing. Like that's why I don't think they lose this game tonight if they have Brunson, because I think Brunson in those stretches in the first and second half where like they couldn't cash in those threes. After a couple of them, he's probably just like, fuck this. Like, I'm just going to go get us a bucket right now in the mid-range. And like,
that's directly related.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just want to say real quick, Schwen, that's like directly related to his skill and his value. Like, he is one of the highest floor players in the league. So his value is being a stabilizer. That's part of his basketball skill.
Yeah.
Sorry for interrupting.
No, you're fine. And all I was going to say is like, that's the part that's like the next evolution for a guy like Quickly, where it's like, okay, today they had Mark Williams and Nick Richards just like sitting at the fucking rim. Okay. So you don't have a lot of space there. And his three ball just didn't have the legs today, whatever it was. It wasn't like it was rolling today. So like, he's got to be able to figure out in those moments where it's like, okay, we've had three empty possessions. Julius doesn't have anything. I need to get us a bucket here. I need to get us a good shot. And I think that's like, so when you'll have those games, like we had against Boston where you're like, holy shit, this guy's fucking awesome. And then part of him figuring that out is having games like tonight where he's like, I need to figure out how to get to my floater. When should I get to my floater? How to create this angle? Which mismatch should I hunt? And all those type of things. Like that's just part of his growth as a player. And, you know, like, I'm fine with that. I'm not too upset about him having a bad game tonight. It's probably his first bad game in like 3 months or something. So whatever. Like there's something to be said about like the Brunson is going. He's like a metronome. He's consistent. I think like How many games has he had this year where he shot under 40% from the field? Probably not that many, I would venture to guess. Probably in the single digits. One of them might even be the first game of the year against Memphis. But the point is, even Brunson's had bad games like this, right? So it's fine. Like, quickly had a bad game. Randall had a bad game. You know, did Randall have a bad game because Jalen Brunson was on the floor? I don't know, man. He missed a lot of wide open shots tonight. Like, you know, he missed like 4 or 5 open threes tonight. I don't think that has anything to do with Jalen Brunson or RJ Barrett or whoever the fuck played or didn't play. Like, that was just, that's just how it went tonight. It's fine. It happens.
Yeah.
Also, like, to the point that Randall without Brunson is some kind of like hyena who just can't play the game. Like, his true shooting of the season is 59%. Without Brunson on the court, it's 59%. Like, he's still able to put the ball in the basket with quickly starting, and that kind of just speaks to how good quickly is and how much just not having to be the primary playmaker elevates him more than, like, say, Brunson. I feel like Brunson gives him more, like, I think he trusts Brunson more, obviously, than quickly, just because, like, it's fucking Jalen Brunson, but, like, yeah, I don't think it's a matter of, like, oh, you know, Brunson is doing all the heavy lifting and making Randall into, like, this scoring dynamo. Like, I think Randall just had a really good year scoring, and it also helps that Jalen Brunson's there to alleviate him and vice versa whenever those guys need it. And quickly can do the same thing. He just can't do it as effectively as Jalen Brunson because Brunson's obviously the better player.
Yeah, Brunson's actually had 15 games this year where he's the...
I just counted.
He's shot under 40% from the field. But the funny thing is, it's just funny actually, like, looking back at us now, because, like, he's been awesome all year, right? But you forget that, like, amidst the awesomeness, there's also shitty games. Like, I'm just looking at this now, but, like, he had a game. We beat Atlanta by 24 points
on December.
Yeah, 2 of 14 from the field, 0-2 from 3, 8 points, 6 assists. He had a game against Golden State, 2 of 13 from the field, 13 points, 4 assists. Like, he's had shitty games, man. You know, like, it happens to the best of us. It happens to the best of our guys. So, Toronto's just fucking, he's had two bad shooting games against them. You know, he had a terrible shooting game against Chicago. Fucking shit, man. Like, last week, he'd had a bad shooting game against Boston. He didn't even have that good of a game. He was 4-12. Yeah, he scored 17 points, but 4-12 for the field. He had 3 assists. 3 assists in that game. That's it. Like, that's not a particularly great game. Like, even Brunson's had bad games. Like, I don't think, yeah, to your point, and, like, Randall, I think, played well in that game. So, like, what did he just, it's just Brunson's aura was like, oh my God, Brunson's on the floor. Now Julius can play well again. Like, yeah, I don't buy that either. It's not even to, like, take away from Brunson. It's just, it's more like, I think Brunson has helped Randall. Yeah, absolutely. He's helped Randall, but I don't think it's like, I think it's a little bit more like Randall has to do less. So he's able to be more consistently good. And, like, tonight's a good example of, like, when, forget just quickly struggle, but, like, the fact that quickly struggle and you don't have another guy that you can depend on to run offense, because Deuce played okay tonight, but you can't actually depend on him to run offense, right? So you kind of saw, again, like, the dynamic that existed at times last year where it's like, yeah, Randall's playing like shit, but kind of have to, like, roll with it, like, to an extent. Would I have liked to see RJ get the ball more down the stretch? Yeah, I probably would have. And I think there are different ways you can use Randall than we did and usually do. But, like, those are separate problems. I don't know. This game was, again, just a stupid, frustrating game, but I'm not that upset about it.
Yeah. H22 said, for the Kings game, I want that lineup to close. We need to attack Sabonis every chance we get. Let's prepare for Thursday night, I guess. Tyrese, I know, you know, you're not a big Sabonis guy. So do you see the Knicks? Yeah. do you see the Knicks looking to exploit him defensively, or what do you think of that matchup?
I think that game's going to be free. I think we win by like 10-plus points. I'm sorry. I just do not buy the Sacramento Kings as a good defensive team. And like,
well, they're not a good defensive team.
Exactly. So, like, and I feel like we can match them scoring-wise. I don't think scoring's our problem. So it kind of feels like that game's going to be, A, a shootout, and B, something to, like, I don't know. I just don't see this team losing to the Kings. And I'm not saying that Kings are a bad team. Like, they're a good team, but I just think that the Knicks are a team that can match them scoring-wise and can defend better than they can. And I think if you need, like, Keegan Murray to beat you, then I think you're in a good spot. I also just, like, do not trust their bench. So I think Malik Monk is good, but, like, otherwise I'm not really too worried about, like, their bench units and stuff. I think maybe the team is still fatigued going into, like, the West Coast trip because, you know, they're traveling and they're going to be, like, on West Coast time. But, like, if you told me this team won by, like, 12 points, I'd be like, okay, sure. But it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. And plus, like, Randall's going to be up for that game. You know that. So,
like, the random game when we crushed Sacramento last year in Sacramento and Julius did the Julius. Was Sabonis on the team?
Yeah. I believe so, yes.
Yeah, he was. He gets up to play Sabonis. I don't know why, but
it's a thing. They couldn't stop him last game. They could not stop him. He had 27. He probably could have gone for 50 if they really wanted to. Like,
yeah, and then he got ejected.
That's our 30.
Yeah, he was close tonight. I'm surprised he didn't get attacked or get ejected.
The meditation is working.
How will we defend the Kings' offense? One of the best offenses in the league that plays very beautiful and free-flowing basketball. And is the plan against the Kings' defense attack the paint? That's from Jordan Bubb. It should be attack the paint because Sabonis is maybe the worst rim protector in the league. Then again, PJ Washington's a terrible rim protector. And it turns out if you can't jump, because you can't fucking move, you won't be able to score on PJ Washington. No, in all seriousness, like, yeah, it should be to attack the paint. I gotta say, like, I need them to lock in defensively. I need to see, like, a game of, like, locked in defense. Cause even they locked in for like a half against Brooklyn, and then they were like, well, we're up 50 points, so let's just hang out now, rest of the game. The last time they did lock in against that first game against Boston last week. They were very locked in. I know that Boston, they missed some threes. The whistle was great. Yeah, sure. But, like, they were really physical in that game. I think you need to be physical with this team. Like, tonight, you could just see they couldn't get back. They couldn't set their defense. Every time that Charlotte pushed the ball, it was like they got an open shot at will, basically. It felt like. I think they'll be way more locked in. I think they're going to have a lot more energy for that Kings game. And they're going to need it because that Kings team plays. They're playing at the fastest pace in the league right now. Like, they play fucking fast, and they score a lot of points. They're something. But you know what? Our offense is pretty good when Jalen Brunson's there. We're gonna need it. Should be a good game.
Yeah, it should definitely be a lot of fun.
You're just gonna have to watch the mute because Reggie Miller's probably gonna be casting, and nobody wants to hear that.
Oh, is that on TNT?
Yeah, it's
TNT. Really. Yeah, they actually flexed it in.
That's right.
That's a good thing, I think, for, like, both fan bases. Like, the Knicks and Kings on TNT just feels like such a weird game to be like, yeah, that's probably going to be the best game of the night.
Our Wizards won tonight.
Our Wizards!
Oh.
Well, why are they our Wizards?
Because we want their pick.
We maybe want their pick. Is that lottery protected this year, or is that top 16 protected this year? I forget.
Top 14.
So it's lottery predicted. So if they make the playoffs, we get that pick. Cool.
Yeah.
H22 says small ball lineup of Brunson, IQ, RJ, Hart, and Randall for the Kings game.
And then you woke up.
Never going to happen. And actually, you know what? This is a matchup where I don't mind that. But I don't think you need to play small against the Kings because Sabonis can't shoot. So, like, they play fast and they play small, but it's not really a five-out offense. Like, it's five out in the sense that Sabonis runs like 7 billion dribble handoffs a game, but it's not like you're worried about it. This is not like when the Wizards go 5 out with Porzingis, right? It's a very different thing.
It is different, but I'll never forget. There was a Grizzlies Warriors game, and I forget if it was the playoffs last year or just a regular season game, but it was a game when Steven Adams played a lot, and Steven Adams is like the ultimate drop coverage guy. And what the Warriors did was they just so basically what he would do against Draymond Green is he just basically disrespected Draymond Green and was just like, all right, you can shoot all the threes you want. And what the Warriors did was they just basically treated Draymond Green like he was Sabonis and had him run a bunch of dribble handoffs, and he would set his, you know, legal screens, and Steven Adams was so far in the paint that he couldn't get out, and they just walked into all these wide open pull-up threes. And you worry a bit with Mitch on Sabonis that with how willing and talented a screener Sabonis is, you worry about the Kings walking into an abundance of open threes. That's at least my worry for that matchup.
Did Mitch play the first game against them?
The Kings?
Let's check.
I know that was weird because Fox didn't play that game.
Fox didn't play, and RJ had a nice RJ had 27. Yeah, Mitch played 19 minutes. I think that might have been the game he got hurt.
Yeah.
I think he did get hurt. I think him and Brunson got hurt in that game, I think. Because Mitch got hurt twice, you got to remember. So, yeah.
You're right, Tyrese. Mitch played 31 minutes the next game, so.
He got hurt against the Sixers. Yeah. That was the first game he got hurt.
But yeah,
the first game against the Sixers. Where we
Ball. Yeah, that was the weird one. I don't know. I I'm sure that it's a thing to worry about, but we'll just have to deal with it when we see it. Because look, the Kings have been scoring on everybody, so you're gonna give up points. Like, that's just, you're not gonna shut them down. Right. You just have to slow them down. That's what you need to do.
It feels like it should be a better matchup for us.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you just go position by position, it's like, I don't know, like we sort of have an answer, you know, like I'm not saying Quinn Grimes can shut down De'Aaron Fox. Nobody can. De'Aaron Fox is really good, but Grimes is a guy that, you know, if you were going through the league and you were like, who's a guy that you would want, you know, to have fighting over screens and to just stay in front of De'Aaron Fox, Grimes is one of the candidates, you know. And like, Julius Randle's huge at power forward. Do the Kings have anybody who they want to put on Julius Randle? I don't think so. Mitchell Robinson is going to negate Sabonis's great rebounding, or maybe even do better than negate it. Like, I don't know. It just feels like we should have a lot of answers for them. So,
yeah, we just need to be careful. Sacramento has, at least coming into the night, they're ninth in pace. I feel like teams with pace have generally given us trouble defensively this year. So the top 10 are Golden State, Los Angeles, Memphis, Minnesota, San Antonio, who weirdly played us really well in both games. Hornets, we just lost to them. OKC, we split with them. They scored a fuck ton of points against us. Indiana, Sacramento, Atlanta is the 10th. We split with Atlanta, obviously. But like, yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty confident in Brunson. I'd be shocked if Brunson's not back for that game. And I'd be shocked if Fox isn't back for that game, since he sat the last game they played. But it should be good. Should be fun. Looking forward to it.
All right. I think that was our last comment. So
yeah,
thanks to everyone who tuned in. We really appreciate you. Sorry we didn't go on as long as 2.5 hours as we did the other night, but like we've said, like Schwinn said, this game sucked, and there's not really, you know, a ton to talk about with it, because there's just like, the most interesting games are always going to be the games where, like, obviously, you know, if you're playing a really good team, but more importantly, when stuff happens that correlates to like what matters to the totality of the season. And the reasons the Knicks lost this game just honestly don't really matter because so much of it came down to the Knicks just didn't have it. They just
Can I read this quote? This one is from Josh Hart. Josh Hart isn't using fatigue as an excuse for the Knicks' loss tonight. Our job is to play basketball. You've got people getting up at 6 a.m. doing 12-hour shifts. Those guys get tired. Like, it's cool that he said that. I actually appreciate him saying that because, like, that's, I think, that's the mentality you need to have. And then I think they asked quickly if fatigue played a role in the Knicks' loss tonight. He said, I got to play better. So, yeah, then this is a good one, too. Josh Hart talks about what went wrong in the Knicks' loss tonight. We've just got to get back to playing winning basketball. It's been one game, buddy.
Yeah.
It's been one game. and then Julius Randle says the Knicks ran out of gas in the second half tonight. We've still got to take care of business regardless. Yeah, they ran out of gas. They should still take care of business regardless. They're all saying the right things. They have the right mindset. That's good. I'm happy. I'm not going to be upset about this.
Yeah. And, I mean, you never want to think ahead. And you never want to be like, if X happens, like, how will we feel? And so I'm not going to do that. But what I will say is this team has, in my opinion, should have bought a ton of goodwill. All the way from, you know, the head coach, the front office, all the way to most of the players. There are things you want to see. And you want them to win. But let's just not, in the words of an athlete that Schwinn and many people are not a fan of, relax. You know, just let's just relax. It's going to be okay. And, you know, we'll cross the bridge of panicking if it's required in a few games. But until then, we're off tomorrow and then the Knicks, like we talked about, play Sacramento late Thursday night. I think we'll all be here, and hopefully we get the win. So thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and go Knicks.